welcome back, folks. Something I've spent a lot of time in the past trying to explain, and that is the very important difference in morality between the West and everywhere else. And this is a fundamental difference that cannot be overlooked and will destroy this country root and branch if it's not confronted and dealt with. You know, we went on and on about this when it came to things like scamming the airport, where a bunch of Indian Airlines has a policy where if you're in a wheelchair, you get to board first. And so all of a sudden, every single flight, half the people were in wheelchairs. And it's this lack of understanding that the wheelchair policy is a vulnerability, that there is a form of just consensus charity, kind of just like we all understand that, you know, these people have a harder time, they're disadvantaged. So, you know, let them go to the front of the line. Great. I wouldn't say they deserve it, but it's something nice that we can do for them. And it makes everything go smoother and it just makes sense. But then if everybody tries to do it, it has to go away. That policy can't exist if every single person is in a wheelchair. You've gone from a policy of sort of generosity and openness and vulnerability to we have to shut it all down, or that policy is now making everything worse and slower because all of a sudden we have 50 freaking wheelchairs we have to deal with in the plane terminal. So like, this is an important distinction. People from other countries do not have the mindset we do about liberty, about our responsibility to not take advantage of vulnerability so that those vulnerabilities can remain because they're what make life good, right? Nobody's actually physically stopping you from depleting the entire river of salmon. We just have these policies in the West where you go and get a permit and you can fish a certain amount, but it's controlled and limited so that the salmon return next year. If a bunch of Indians show up and think these stupid freaking Canadians left their rivers wide open, let's steal all the salmon. There's no more salmon the next year. And they think, well, you're all idiots. We have tons of salmon. You guys don't have any, you suckers. It's that dog eat dog mindset, that short-sighted mindset that's made India into what it is and will make America into what India is if we don't check it. And I'm not the one saying this. Indians are. Let's go to clip 12 here. This is an Indian person describing how India is an immoral, irrational society devoid of value. Let's watch. This is 12.
Fairness. Now, these are all European concepts. You think that these are parts of firmament. They aren't. The concepts like fairness, justice, trust, empathy, and impartiality are completely alien concepts to the Indian mind. They cannot differentiate between right and wrong. They simply can't differentiate between what is right and wrong. They do not have the concepts, the Western value concepts that you think are a part of the natural existence. They aren't. Human rights is a Western concept that is incomprehensible to Indians. They fail to understand personal space and respect for the individual. Speaking to them about rights, even negative rights, I'm not talking about positive rights, even about negative rights only leads to confusion. So here is the foundational principle to understanding India. It is an amoral, irrational society devoid of values. Any values you try to instill will slip off like a water off a duck's back. So here is the problem with Indians. You cannot teach them anything good until the foundations of morality, rationality, causality, and other Western values have first been laid in their minds. How would you do that job? I don't know how you can do it. Without these foundations, the fruit of the Western civilization only serve to turn their hedonistic tendencies into something more malevolent.
Oof. I guess what you say to that is oof. Pretty brutal, but true as far as I can tell.
Well, Bloomberg and the Democrats think they've shut down InfoWars. It's just URL. But the InfoWar is we the people. The real power of this operation is you. So they are desperate right now. They are panicking. The whole world's waking up. They are praying that you don't share these two URLs. AlexJonesLive.com, our new news site, with all the articles, the streaming, the special reports, everything they fear. And AlexJonesApp.com, where you can download the free Android and Apple apps and then share with everybody you know. So take those two URLs, hit your whole email list, your text message list, tell your neighbors, your friends, your family, perfect strangers. The second American Revolution worldwide is happening right now. The spirit of 1776 is alive and well through you. Take action now at AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. The ball's in your court. Now take action. You are the reincarnation of Paul Revere.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is War Room Live on InfoWars. Or scratch that, just kidding. It's gonna be hard to break that habit, huh? AlexJonesLive.com. We are on AlexJonesLive.com. And of course, you can support us, and I do encourage you to do so because, you know, it's funny. I'm trying to like walk all these tight ropes because it's like, yeah, I don't want to be like, yeah, whatever, InfoWars went down, who cares, we're doing great. Like, no, it's a big deal, it's crazy, it's totally against the First Amendment, it's an unprecedented violation of a media company's right to exist. It's horrible that our country is this way. But I don't want you to be like, oh my God, the bad guys won, InfoWars went down, this is, you know, I'm so sad. It's like, How do I walk this tightrope of like, yeah, it's crazy what's going on, but like, you don't be sad. Do not be despondent. Do not be borne down by this. That's what they want. Globalists want you to be sad. The globalists want you despondent and depressed and hopeless, ridden with despair. So don't do it. You have to be joyful. They hate when you're joyful. They hate when you're goofy. They hate when you're silly. They want you to be serious and ridiculous. Okay, so I'm trying to walk that tightrope. On this, at the same time, I'm like, we'll be fine. We're going to succeed. We've got all these systems in place to continue operation, but we're still going to take a hit. There's still probably millions of people out there going to InfoWars this morning and finding a blank screen. Probably a lot of people try to watch on band.video like they do every day, and they're not going to be able to pull it up. So we're taking a hit here. We are going to, you know, have to reestablish ourselves. We are going to have to, you know, get the information out there. The most valuable and important thing you could do right now to help us is share the links, tweet this out, post this out on your social media. Hey guys, InfoWars is down. Go to The Alex Jones Show. Go to AJ and Live on X, or go to AlexJonesLive.com. AlexJonesLive.com is the website. AlexJonesLive.com. It's got all the articles. It's got like all the writers writing articles for that. Everything's continuing at a pace. But we're just by necessity, because of this changeover, we're almost certainly going to take a bit of a hit for the next couple weeks. So please help us overcome that. Please help us continue to build out the new headquarters by going to thealexjonesstore.com. And I saw somebody on X yesterday say, you know, this makes me so sad. I wish I could have done more. I feel like I didn't do enough. It's like, y'all have done so much. And we've got the, like, we're handling things behind the scene. Y'all have done so much for us. Y'all have supported us to such a degree that we have been able to stave off the shutdown for 2 years. And during those 2 years, because of your support, we were able to build this backup network. We were able to fully create a alternative studio that we can run out of. That's because of your support. That's because you went to thealexjonesstore.com. Not only the fees to the lawyers to file the stays, to get the bankruptcy proceedings delayed, to give us time to build the studios, all of this is because of your support. And I just don't want anybody out there feeling, you know, guilty over what happened in InfoWars. This is nobody's fault. Nobody did anything wrong. These people are evil, and they're incredibly powerful, and they use their evil and their power to shut us down illegitimately. Okay, so we move forward and we move on, but we do need your support. We do need your contributions. We do pledge ourselves to this mission, and we will be bigger and better than ever before. But you got to go to thealexjonesstore.com. You can go to thealexjonesstore.com to let them know /Harrison to let them know who sent you. Ultramethylene Blue gummies are 58% off right now if you get the subscription. It's also your last day to enter to win both the Ford Raptor and the custom H1 Hummer, plus $20,000 in cash. For every $1 you spend at thealexjonesstore.com, you get 100 times entries to win. Plus, you get a free America 250 coin for every order over $100. Of course, the VIP club gets you extra discounts and even more goodies. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com today and keep us on the air and in the fight. And in a metaphysical way, winning and kicking ass. In a metaphysical way, that is. Like in the eyes of God, I think we're winning. But yeah, the devil controls the world. So here we are. Now, I just played a video of an Indian person telling a pretty brutal truth about Indians. And I say again that it's not necessarily like an insult or a criticism of India. Obviously, it's not the way that we want our country run. But as a nationalist, I kind of don't feel like I have a right to tell India how to conduct their business. If they want to run a society on scams, then like more power to them. But you don't bring it over here. It's not about necessarily their system being objectively worse, even though I think it is. It's the incompatibility when that system collides with our system, because our system has vulnerabilities. Our system is not built for a bunch of people to be taking advantage of it constantly and trying to get one over on one another all the time. Our system depends on people being gracious and generous and charitable and honest above all. So when you have a bunch of people from a dishonest scam culture come into an honest culture, it's that honest culture that suffers, obviously, and is destroyed completely. And this is the thing about having an open society, having a liberal society, having a society where you have vulnerabilities, where you open yourself up to, you know, potential that you're taken advantage of. You have to be hardcore about preserving that. Anybody who violates that has to be treated harshly, not with understanding and mercy and, you know, forgiveness, but like punishment, right? So like if you're going to have a system by which anybody in a wheelchair gets to the front of the line, anybody who tries to cheat that system and use a wheelchair, even though they don't need one, should be like kicked off the plane and never allowed to fly again. Because like this whole system we have doesn't work with people like you. So you either need to change yourself to comport yourself with the way we do things, which is going to take a fundamental and universal transformation of your subconscious, which is going to be difficult, but I think you can do it. Or you got to go, or you got to get kicked out. These are the only options. We are incapable of absorbing this. It's not a matter of absorbing these people. If we absorb these people, our system goes away. It's incompatible. They just can't exist in parallel. So we got to understand that. And the example I always bring up, and we should just grab the video. I bring it up so often. There are like certain videos. We need to be making a list. I'm gonna start making a list. And I'm gonna write this one at the top because it's a video of an Indian man running for office in India. And his method of campaigning is driving around in a limo and throwing wads of cash to people. Okay, to an American who thinks of voting as like a sacred right and an obligation of a citizen to be involved in the conduct of your country, and it's something that you have to resist being perverted by the influx of cash or pay for play or quid pro quo. It's like that destroys the entire system of voting, so you have to keep it out in an extreme fashion. In India, what he's doing is not a crime. It's not immoral. It's not, as we would perceive it, totally ruining the system of voting by paying for votes, completely incompatible with the concept of voting as we understand it. To them, that's just what you do. It makes sense. We're talking to somebody from the Middle East one time about this, and they were like, yeah, of course I'm going to vote for the person that gives me the most money. That means they're the best person to vote for. It was like very like, yeah, obviously. It's like, why wouldn't you? You don't want to elect the guy that's going to give you money? Are you an idiot? It's an incompatibility. Now, again, it's not like India knows that this is immoral to us and is like, you know, I'm going to give out money to these people. They're filming it. They're putting it on video. They're going, look how generous I am as I pay for votes. It's incompatible. It doesn't work here. But they're going to come over here and they're going to start paying for votes and they're going to go, well, what? This is what we do. It's our culture. And if we don't have the authority and will to say, yeah, it's not how this works here, you got to go home now, then our country is over. It's done. It's just one of them. But this has caught. This is a shocking from Serampore Assembly. BJP candidate Bhaskar Bhattacharya was caught red-handed by villagers distributing cash even after campaign hours had ended. Yet both BJP and Election Commission remained silent. It's raising serious questions about electoral fairness. I don't know. The guy we just listened to said fairness is an unknown concept in Indian culture. So, but. You know, that one seemed to be like he was getting caught for it. I mean, there are videos where they're just, it's like an advertise. They're going, look at me, vote for me. Look how generous I am as they're handing money out. Incompatible. It's just incompatible. And so, and again, I'm not saying that Indians are incapable of adopting our morality. Obviously, Indians can adopt our morality, but they have to adopt our morality and it has to be self-enforced. We can't be constantly policing every Indian person in our country to force them to abide by our laws. Like, Indian people can accept this and understand this, understand the concepts that we live by, understand the actual correct moral foundation of the world that the West abides by, and then comport themselves with it. They have to go away now. Indian voters lured by cashed handouts, drugs, bootleg liquor. Yeah, same thing with the trash in the river. You know, it's just like, these are the people that liberals want us to bring over by the millions. They literally use their rivers as trash dumps. Why don't our rivers in America look like that, I wonder? Yet. They don't look like that yet, I should say. Let's go to, I just want to go to clip number, oh my God, I have so many crazy things to get to today. And I'm debating whether I should, I guess I do just want to get into it because it's what's on my mind. Yeah. Now, every video in India, pretty much every video. And now there's videos of Canadians coming upon Indian people, like, pooping on their beaches. And it's Indian people like, why are you filming me? What is wrong with you? It's like, why are you pooping on the beach, you freak? All right. So this is sort of a mask-off moment. This is from a guy named John Pavlovitz. John Pavlovitz posted a Substack article. Title says, not racist white friends, now's the time to prove it. You better prove you're not racist white friends by accepting your own destruction, genocide, and extinction. John Pavlovitz, a Jewish fellow, writes this: these dying white dinosaurs see the asteroid of humanity's evolution coming for them, and in a naked act of panicked self-preservation, they're firing off one final Hail Mary salvo to try to stave off political extinction. Republicans are furiously dismantling the provisions and protections of the Voting Rights Act for one reason. They assume that white voters will save them. Instead, we must be the ones to end them. Okay, so here you have the Jewish call for white extinction, okay? Because he's anti-racist, you understand. Now, he was clever enough. He's so clever. You know, we almost didn't figure this out, to write political before the word extinction. But here's the thing about extinction. It doesn't really apply to the word political. That doesn't really mean anything. Extinction is when a group of people or animals or plants die off, never to come back. Okay. The very idea of politics means that an idea could never die. So if like what you're talking about is something to end politically, you can never have a political extinction of anything because politics are just ideas and you can always have new ideas or you can always resurrect old ideas. What he's talking about is killing all of the white people slowly by flooding our countries with migrants, allowing them to vote their wealth into or our wealth into their hands in a systematic and worldwide effort to eradicate white people wholly and completely from the earth. Okay. And the fact that a few white people around the world have noticed this trend, noticed this deliberate policy set adopted universally by every white country all at once, whose end result can only ever possibly be the destruction of those white countries. They've looked around, they've noticed this, and they've said, hey, we don't want to go extinct. We don't want to be replaced in our own countries. We are not ashamed of who we are, and we don't deserve this abuse. And that's what John Pavlovitz is so angry at and wants to destroy. He says that white people are acting in panicked self-preservation. Patriotic Americans, actual Christians, and decent humans stand with Jimmy Kimmel. John Pavlovitz. Let's read his article, shall we? The rights of black people are under attack. Decent white people need to fight for them. Should we do this? The rights of white people are under attack. Decent Jews need to fight for them. What if we change that? What if we change this article up a little bit and see how it sounds? I haven't read it yet, so we'll find out. Dear supposedly non-supremacist Jews in the United States. Dear supposedly non-supremacist Jews in the United States, you realize what's happening right now, don't you? You have to see it at this point, right? I mean, they're not hiding it anymore. This repugnant, not racist, Jewish. This repugnant Jewish president, his Jewish supremacist party, and the soulless bigots he's polluted the highest court of our nation with aren't even trying to pretend this is anything else but the desperation of morally inverted human beings who realize time and progress are coming to swallow them up. They've read the writing on the wall ever since November of 2024. They've seen the changing demographics of this nation, right? They've seen the way that their nations are being overwhelmed with a deliberate policy of ethnic erasure. They've witnessed the wild swings in state and local elections away from them and their draconian fever dreams. And they see the plummeting approval ratings of a deranged, lame duck president whose narcissism, recklessness, and incompetence are collapsing our economy, terrorizing vulnerable people, alienating our allies, and throwing this entire planet into chaos. A little dramatic there, fella. These dying Jewish dinosaurs, sorry, it says white, but I'm going to change it to Jewish. These dying Jewish dinosaurs see the asteroid of humanity's evolution coming for them, and in a naked act of panicked self-preservation, they're firing off one final Hail Mary salvo to try to stave off political extinction. Which is kind of funny because, I mean, if you're talking about Israel, I mean, that's kind of accurate. Republicans are fiercely dismantling the provisions and protections of the Voting Rights Act for one reason. They assume white voters will save them. They believe that if they can silence the voices and votes of black people in the country, they'll be able to drag this nation back to Jim Crow segregation unabated. They are banking on the hypothesis that if the legislative and gerrymander historically racial minorities out of the electoral process, they'll have no remaining obstacles to a pre-civil rights movement in the United States. It turns out the alleged greatness of MAGA has been pining for over the last 10 years is a gated community of ignorant, phobic Jewish people. Okay, so obviously this is just a racial screed, a hateful, racist screed by a Jew against white people. He's pretending to be white in order to inspire hatred against white people by, like, poking and messing with and like, you know, trying to annoy and gin up the divisions between black people and white people in this country. Well, not black people and white people, white people and every other type of person, Jews included. And so if white people want to not have our country overwhelmed by different demographics that don't believe what we believe and are fundamentally changing the foundation and fabric of our society and the culture that we enjoy and the way our government functions, we have to accept that or else we're racist, according to this absolute supremacist scumbag who is not afraid, not even a little bit, about insulting, disparaging, and openly hating white people and calling for our extinction. And so in a way, it's kind of like, thank you. Thank you for saying this, because we keep getting called anti-Semitic for just pointing out that this is the underlying message of a lot of stuff going on right now. But saying it explicitly is very valuable. And I've seen a lot of people respond to this basically with the phrase, well, looks like somebody's going to go extinct, huh? Looks like there's a battle for extinction going on. I wonder who's going to win. I'm glad we're all aware that this fight is going on now. Apparently, this fight has been waged against white people for the last 2,000 years. We didn't even know it was happening, except for a little bit there. So here's we want to inform and help, you know, just like this guy is trying to inform and help white people to learn to accept their own destruction. You know, we're going to return the favor and try to help him understand who he really is. We cannot profess to be anti-racist and be silent right now. We either need to find and raise our voices in opposition or admit that we really aren't all that interested in equality. We cannot simply profess to be anti-white and be silent right now. It's kind of like the anti-Semitism thing. Like, we need a word. There's no word for hatred against white people. Loxism. I've heard it described as loxism. We cannot profess to be anti-loxist. Or maybe you should be anti-Semitic. We cannot profess to be anti-Semitic and be silent right now. I don't know. It gets a little confusing. Because there will be cost to this work, white friends. Look, Jews, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your nation, your livelihood, your very lives, your children, your sense of well-being, your history, your heritage. Yeah, it's going to cost you. But in exchange, we get all your stuff. So you're going to have to deal with it. It's going to cost you, and you're going to get nothing in return. So we will face separations in our family, disruptions in our social circles, disconnections from our church friends. Oh, hilarious. Our church friends. Yeah, totally. Listen, fellow Jews, look, as a Jewish person myself, I can say we all need to learn to accept that we're not going to be around forever, okay? We're going to go extinct, and it's a small price to pay for the equality that it will bring in your absence. Our absence, right? I don't know why they feel like they can write articles like this and that we just have to take it, but we don't. You don't. I don't. Nobody does, and nobody would. Nobody expects Jews to put up with stuff like this. Nobody expects black people to put up with stuff like this. White people don't put up with stuff like this. You don't deserve it. You're better than that. You're better than him. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I have been very blessed and honored in 32 years on air and 28 years of InfoWars to have seen the whole world change. When I first got started, almost nobody knew about the globalists. People were literally in the dark. Look how far we've come. We are exposing them. Jeffrey Epstein, the pedophile rings, the poison COVID shots, the open borders, the global wars, the 5G, all of it is coming out. Humanity is rallying. This is the fourth turning. This is the great awakening. It is the answer to their great reset. I am so proud of humanity, and I'm so thankful to all the viewers and listeners who over the years have supported us by prayer, word of mouth, and financial support at thealexjonesnetwork.com. So InfoWars has been shut down, but we've launched the Alex Jones Network. We plan to crank this sucker up. We got new studios, even bigger, being built. And we want to go 19 hours a day live by the end of 2026 from 5 a.m. until midnight. So if I build it, will you come? Yes, I know you will. So now more than ever, go to thealexjonesstore.com and get incredible supplements. Our methylene blue is the best. Our methylene red is proprietary. Our bovine colostrum, the widest selection of Patriot Apparel, incredible collectible knives, and so much more. You are literally financing the tip of the spear and the resistance that the tyrants and the globalists hate above everything else. InfoWars is a proven winner. They have a URL. They have an old studio. That means nothing. You are the InfoWar. And if you accept this mission, if you take action, if you spread the word, if you share our links, alexjoneslive.com, the news site, the live feeds, the articles, the videos, it's incredible. If you share the feed with everybody you know at alexjonesapp.com, the free Droid or Apple download of the app, it is insane. All the power lies with you. That's why when callers call in and thank me, I say, thank me. I would fight this no matter what. I'd fight it in a ditch. I'd fight if I was homeless. We're all in this together. You have all the power, but you have to use the power now. Share the feeds to alexjoneslive.com. Share the URL, alexjonesapp.com. And go to thealexjonesstore.com with the widest selection of Patriot apparel to wear your uniform of liberty openly and proudly. It's such an adventure to wear this apparel and to get the incredible supplements that will empower your life so you'll know how real this is. I only sell stuff that really works, so I want you to get it and take it and love it and have a great response. We have a 90+% reorder rate. So many of you are on the fence. Take action now. Step into a wider world. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and support this broadcast. But regardless, take the feed, take the live links at alexjoneslive.com/show and on Rumble and Relox Shows on X, the Alex Jones Show on Rumble, and share those links and it changes the world. You are unstoppable when you decide to get up at the plate and take action. This is real. This isn't hype. You've seen the results. Now the ball's in your court. AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. Take action. You are the reincarnation of Paul Revere. You are unstoppable. The globalists are in deep crap. Take action now at AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. And I want to be clear. I don't own the AlexJonesStore.com. Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Network, does. We've got a major deal with Rumble to push our information. It's already top on Rumble, but to supercharge it. The most important coordinate in this fight is rumble.com/Alex Jones Live. rumble.com/Alex Jones Live. We are already at the top of Rumble, but we're going to go even further partnering with them. This is the coordinates of liberty. Take action right now at rumble.com/Alex Jones Live, and we are unstoppable. The power of humanity is unstoppable if you simply unleash it now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Hillary and Obama want to make you poor and pathetic. We have all their white papers. They hate you. They hate prosperity. They hate God. They hate children. And goddamn, going to find the lever to beat these people. And they're going to be beaten. Look at her shark face. Have to look at her with that demon face. That's a freaking demon. We're going to have President Linda Blair, people. And I'm not going to go along with it. You want to overrun us and poison us and take our families and kill us? You will die, not us! You anti-human crap! You already killed everybody I know! You already killed most of my family! Bastards! I hate you! We have scored a direct stab in those sons of bitches' hearts. We gotta keep running the knife in, though, folks. We gotta keep running in there, not worry what they're doing, dodges. You want to fight? You're getting it. The age of men will return. And they're not going to get their computer grid, self-driving car, nanotech, panopticon in place fast enough.
Wow, 2015 was a wild time, wasn't it? Welcome back, folks. This is AlexJonesLive.com, War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I want to play a clip from Tucker Carlson here in just a second because we're sticking with this theme, and I think all these themes sort of come together because the dirty little truth about the video that I showed at the top of this hour of the Indian guy explaining that India does not have the capability of understanding, let alone enacting and upholding themselves, Western values. That's true for everywhere. That's not the West. You understand that? Because this is what I've explained over and over. Like, India is a sort of extreme example of where the sort of scam artist mindset gets you, where it's just like all the diplomas are fake and all the, it's scam upon scam. But I mean, look at a place like Mexico, very American in history, very American in sort of composition, a republic, it had a revolution, free itself from a European power. I mean, you know, there's a lot of similarities there, but in Mexico, every time you get pulled over, you got to give the cop $100 or you get beaten. It's just a minor difference. You tick down the, or you, maybe you tick up the tolerance meter for corruption, just like a point or two, and you live in hell world. So it's really important that we keep that tolerance dial all the way at its lowest point. We want no tolerance for corruption, no tolerance for graft, no tolerance for grifting, no tolerance for scams. Right now, we tolerate literally everything, and it's why our country is being destroyed. And it's why I ended up going viral yesterday. I didn't even realize it. I'd put out a tweet and really not thought about it much, and I didn't realize. Apparently, it was becoming a big topic of discussion online because I got a lot of these guys muted. James Lindsay, these types, I don't see their tweets. But apparently they were saying all sorts of stuff. Basically, I put out a tweet saying that if we had a benevolent dictator, that we could probably solve 90% of America's problems in the first couple of weeks, and within a year, we could be living in absolute paradise. And then I expanded on that, saying that I literally think that if we plucked somebody from the Midwest with a few, you know, minor prerequisites and just picked them out of, you know, wherever, Texas or Kansas or wherever, and just plopped them into D.C. and said, you are now the king. For the next year, for 1 year, your word is law. What should we do? And I bet they'd be able to fix things. I bet they'd do a hell of a lot better job than the system we have now. And then, of course, it's people like James Lindsay being like, oh, this is the right wing is flirting with authoritarianism, I assume. I don't know. I didn't actually read what he said, but it ended up on the sidebar of X as like a trending topic, top news story. InfoWars host suggests a benevolent dictator could solve all of America's problems. Now, here's the thing. My suggestion that we pluck somebody out of the Midwest and crown them king for a year is obviously flippant and unserious, but it's also obviously true. That a benevolent dictator that was genuinely motivated by a desire to simply make America function correctly could solve all of our problems in a week. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not nothing like that. I mean, it would not even be that hard. It would take a couple orders and everything would just like the sun would be shining, the rivers flowing, the birds chirping. I mean, it's like deportations. And that's basically it. I mean, you do deportations and it's not like we have a lack of manpower. It's not like we don't have the largest army in the world 10 times over. It's not like we need to be suffering under endless invasion by hostile foreigners. This is a choice we're making. And so, you know, obviously James Lindsay, he's a sort of a, I don't know, what do you call a teacher's pet that doesn't even go to school? He's just like a pet, I guess. He's just like a pet of the powerful. And so, of course, he's going to be like, oh, you know, wringing his hands and fretting. Oh, but what about authoritarianism? I mean, if you're going to make somebody dictator, it's like, listen, idiot. Did you think that was a serious suggestion? Did you think that was a legitimate policy suggestion that this is something that we should actually do as if there would be any function of ever doing that? Because here's the thing. It's not possible for that to happen in our current system. Obviously, duh, because what that would require would be probably both houses of Congress coming together to to appoint somebody king for a year. Like, that's how Rome used to do it. Rome, the Senate would come together and go, things are getting bad. We need a dictator for a year. Go get Cincinnatus. And they'd find a guy on his farm and go, hey, get your sword. You're going to be the king for a year. And he's like, all right, cool. And he comes and does it, cleans everything up, and goes back to his field. It's like what George Washington did. There's actually like kind of a, you know, historical precedent for this. It's actually a corrective measure that's kind of necessary in democracy. Otherwise, you get the situation that we're now in. But that's the only way it could ever happen, because what I'm describing is somebody with the full power and capabilities of the United States government wielding it with authority. So that would require the government to be functional and to be willingly handed over to this person. That there's no possible way that will ever happen in this country. That would require having a you know, unbreakable majority in both houses of Congress filled with right-wing extremists, okay? It's never going to happen. And even if it did, I doubt we'd even have to appoint a dictator then, because the problems would probably be solved anyway. But in order to get to the point where, like, a dictator of America is even possible, it means the government would have to be totally destroyed, is what I mean. Like, it's incompatible. Either you have a government and we're in the mess that we're in now, or we're in civil war and the government is non-functional and everything is in collapse, and then you can, you know, maybe have the strongest force in the country appoint a leader and be dictator that way. But there's no possible scenario in which the current manifestation of the American government would ever be willingly handed over to a dictator. So anyway, the point is, like, to even treat that suggestion as serious shows that you're kind of like a humorless idiot. But to not acknowledge that it's true makes you a liar and a schemer and a scam artist. I'm trying to think of a metaphor kind of like this, because we're chained in a basement somewhere, and I'm like, oh man, if we had a gun to shoot our way out, we could free ourselves. And the other guy chained next to me is like, yeah, but guns are dangerous, and then you might be tempted to shoot somebody else. And it's like, well, tell you what, we'll deal with that eventuality when it comes. But why are you trying to tell me not to do the thing I need to escape because of a potential of abuse down the line? Like, we're being destroyed. We're being absolutely destroyed. So, of course, they're going, you know, people like James Lindsay are going to come in and go, oh, God, the authoritarian right. Oh, they're at it again. And they don't understand the importance of not having a dictator. I need to educate them on power corrupting. Absolutely. And I'm just like, it's a year. Give it a year. OK, we'll tar and feather the guy at the end. If it doesn't work out, what's the big deal? I don't see the big deal. The point I was making that he obviously understands and is deliberately trying to obfuscate is the fact that none of our problems are real. None of the problems in America are happening to us. We are doing it to ourselves. Our leadership hates us and is destroying us on purpose. And the only thing necessary to correct just about everything wrong in this country is the rigorous application of existing law. That's it. That's the answer. That's the solution. And all you need is somebody with the will to do it. So no, I don't think there's any possible way that we get, you know, make our way to a American dictator for a year. And that's what dictator was. In ancient Rome, a dictator was a position that was temporary and it would last for 1 year and then it was over. It wasn't a pejorative. It wasn't an insult. It wasn't something that you call a politician you don't like. It was a official position in their government structure. But I'm obviously right, right? Like, does anybody think I'm wrong? Is it hard to shut the border? Trump did it by saying, hey, the border should be shut. You know what else he could do? He could say, I order you to deport every single illegal immigrant in the country. And you have infinite resources. The entire military is at your disposal. And you just need to do it. And if a judge tries to intervene, we'll deal with it. But you just keep going in the meantime. A dictator could do that. A dictator could go, hey, do that. And a dictator could go, hey, take over BlackRock. Hey, I have an idea. Go arrest Larry Fink and take over BlackRock and put my lieutenant in there at the head of BlackRock. Because what's happening right now is we are in a very real, in a very tangible way, losing our sovereignty over this country. and they're building the operating system that will serve as our AI liege lord from now on. Palantir is creating the corporate superstructure that will govern America if they succeed, if they're able to carry this out. So we're losing our sovereignty, and it's up to us to reclaim it and regain it and insist that the what's best for America as a nation has to be prioritized above what's best for Larry Fink or BlackRock shareholders, because they're the ones destroying us completely. Until we accept that and recognize that and understand that all of the problems that we face on a daily basis are a choice, are a series of choices made by people who despise you and want the bad outcome, well, we'll never break through and we'll never get over it. And it's especially important to talk about this in the way that we're talking about it, because we have to understand that just like Indians will come over here and be incompatible with the vulnerabilities of our society, that very same mindset dwells within the brain of Alex Karp and Larry Fink, right? They have a different culture. They have a different belief system. They have a different moral structure. And if they're in charge, they're going to destroy us. I want to go to a video of Tucker Carlson here now, clip 25. He's saying what nobody else is saying. Wait a second. This video was posted saying that Tucker is saying what nobody else will, but I say it all the time. Hold on a second. I've said this for years. Thank you very much. And that is that Israel is engaged in a dual campaign of both ensuring their nation's permanent success and status as an ethnostate, while simultaneously those very same people are hollowing out America and telling us that white ethnostates are the most evil thing in the entire world. So here's Tucker Carlson breaking it down. I don't know if I'll play the whole thing, but it's a good monologue. It's very important to understand why our government does the things that it does, why it makes the choices that it makes, and where its priorities really lie. Here's Tucker Carlson on the hypocrisy, if you can call it that, of Israel supporters here in America. Let's watch. 25.
They say, out loud, effectively, our deepest fear is that the United States will be some kind of ethnostate with a racial majority that's white. That's a huge fear. Even as they say that, they demand that Israel remain an ethnostate. Here's a tweet. And there are many, but here's just from Don Bacon, the guy you just heard calling that poor woman anti-immigrant, a hater, a bad Christian. Here's his definition of support for Israel. And this is a tweet he sent this fall. Zionists believe the Jewish people should have a homeland called Israel as promised in the Bible. If you don't think Israel should exist as a Jewish state, then I'd say you're an anti-Semite. You're an anti-Semite if you don't think that Israel is inherently and has a moral right to be, a biblical right to be, an ethno-state, not just a state, a Jewish state. Now, a lot of us are kind of agnostic on this question. Israel wants to be an ethno-state? Fine. I mean, okay. Not my country. Not too upset about it. Feel sorry for the mistreatment, the murder of Palestinians. But a kind of core tenet of nationalism is each country gets to define its purpose and its vision for itself. And if it's not your country, it's kind of not your business as long as they're not forcing you to, say, pay for it, which they are. But let's say they weren't. And Israel wants to remain an ethno-state? Fine. It is an ethnostate. Don't know why it's embarrassing to say that. Don Bacon just said that. You're an anti-Semite if you don't want it to be a Jewish state. Okay, fine. Fair enough. Don't agree with your definition of anti-Semitism, but it's very important to Don Bacon that Israel will remain an ethnostate, and very important to most members of Congress. They'll tell you this. But it's at the same time repugnant, the idea that the United States should be an ethnostate. In other words, their number one goal as a policy question is to keep Israel an ethnostate while preventing the United States from being one. What is that? Why are those goals the inverse of one another? And why are they so important? You would think a leader of our country be completely agnostic as to the demographic makeup of Israel. Why does that matter to us exactly? What effect does that have on the United States? Why is that our concern? Again, as long as you don't have to pay for it, your weird apartheid system, or the murder of your racial opponents, we shouldn't be paying for that. But as long as we're not, how many members of Congress are standing up and saying it's really important that China remain 95% Han Chinese, or it's bad that they remain 95% Han Chinese? Members of Congress don't even know what the ethnic mix of China is. They don't care. But they know a lot about the ethnic mix of the United States and Western Europe and Canada and New Zealand and Australia, and they're very opposed to those countries remaining majority white. It's one of their main complaints about Russia, by the way. They fixed that problem in Ukraine because this war, which has been supported from day one by the very same neocon lobby that got us into the war with Iran, that lobby has extended this war with U.S. and now European tax dollars to the point where so many Ukrainian men have been killed that Budanov, the number two in the Ukrainian government, just the other day announced we're going to have to import Africans to live and work here because we don't have enough men. We're going to have to change the demographic mix of Ukraine for all time. For all time. We're going to do what Genghis Khan was unable to do, which is totally change the composition of who lives in Ukraine. So Ukraine as a nation, the nation that existed 5 years ago, will cease to exist, period. And its farmland will likely be bought by foreigners, because that's now legal under Zelensky. So you just saw the elimination of a European country as it existed 5 years ago. And you saw that not simply because Putin rolled over the border and invaded sovereign Ukraine. You saw that because Western elites pushed that. That has been their overriding goal for the past 4.5 years. So now you're starting to understand that the goal is to allow really one ethnostate in the rest and not allow any others. Now, why would that be the goal? And the truth is, no clue. No idea. That is so weird.
I know. I can tell you.
Doubtless there is some explanation. Maybe it's theological or spiritual. It's above my level of understanding. But just noting the behavior and the public statements of everyone involved, that's clearly the standard that they're holding this country and the rest of the world to. One ethnostate and one ethnostate only. And by the way, only one country with an inherent, quote, right to exist. And if you press them, and I have, they will admit only one country has a right to exist. We may enjoy having certain countries exist, and if they can defend themselves, they can continue to exist. But only one country possesses an inherent right to exist. And that's also the only country that has a right to be an ethnostate. No European country possesses that right. So why bring this up? Well, because there's no avoiding it. That's why. Not because it's a comfortable topic. Not because the people in charge are going to be happy to hear it. They won't be. But because you should know it. We are in a moment of profound change. Whenever you're staring down the barrel of global famine, which we are, and the end of our longstanding system of energy production and distribution, which we are, whenever there's a real possibility that someone uses nuclear weapons, which we face, despite whatever they tell you, that is real. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. It could happen. You are looking at a world that is resetting. Big things are changing. Not just little national borders, but much more than that. The collapse of empires, the rise of others, maybe even more than that. So you should know the motives of the people involved. And there is no topic that reveals motives more clearly than the question of speech, which is the foundation of freedom in all countries at all times, and is the basis of our system of government. Democracy cannot work unless people are free to say what they think is true. Because how can you cast an informed vote if you don't know the facts? Well, if you're prevented from speaking honestly about what you think those facts are, of course you can't cast an informed vote and the entire system falls apart. But it's even deeper than that. You cannot tell a sovereign human being what he must say or believe, period. Because those rights are inherent. Human beings are born with the right to say and believe what they think is true. That right was given them by God, not by government. So if you take it away, you are by definition treating people as subhuman. You are telling them you cannot speak because you don't possess those rights because I consider you a slave. So this really is the difference between freedom and slavery. So whenever you hear people say, using whatever pretext they come up with at the moment, you're not allowed to say that. You are watching an attempt by the people in charge to enslave the people they rule over. And you are, and it brings great sadness to acknowledge this, you are watching right now the people that, if you're watching this, you may have voted for, the president and the constellation of supporters around him, office holders around him, call for censorship.
So it actually goes a lot deeper than he's even saying. So to answer the question he was saying, I have no idea why, you know, people in power are obsessed with the ethnic demographic of Israel and why Israel has a right to exist, but that right is not extended to anybody else. Why the same people that are obsessed with destroying the ethnic population, changing the demographic of white countries, believe that Israel has an absolute right to exist as an ethnic Jewish state. It's not all that complicated. In a word, it's globalism. Globalism is the unity of these two concepts. Communism, to dissolve national borders throughout the entire world, plus Zionism, the belief that a Jewish state in Israel is a, you know, fundamental requirement for humanity or something. So Zionist and Zionism will be protected from everything, right? Look around, right? I mean, they can literally kill thousands of children for no discernible reason, and they get away with it. They can do whatever the hell they want. Now, the way this gets really dangerous and disturbing and why we need to, you know, pay extra attention to this is because once that system's in place, with Israel as a sovereign and independent nation and every other nation dissolved into sort of corporatocracies, is that that protection of Israel and that status as a, you know, chosen person Israeli citizen will be extended to all the Jews outside of Israel as well. And I'll explain how this is being laid out, because it is actually being built out right now. The global government that will be headquartered in Israel, that will use Palantir as an operating system, is being built as we speak, and I'll show you the component parts being aligned in the third hour. Stay with us. It's The War Room on AlexJonesLive.com. That's AlexJonesLive.com.
Because of God's providence, I was able to get on air in 1994. By 1996, I had a local radio show with number one ratings because freedom's popular. By 97, I was syndicated. God's hand has been on this operation. It's incredible. We set up InfoWars, the URL, in 1997, 28 years ago. And finally, the Democrats, after almost a decade of attacks, have been successful shutting it down. But they don't control the InfoWar, because the InfoWar is not a URL. It is we the people. It is you. And that's where we are right now. So our enemies hope and pray they can claim we've been defeated, and you believe the lie and go back to sleep. It's not going to happen. We together, not just myself, but the viewers and listeners and our guests and our crew, are the epicenter of the great awakening against the globalist great reset. So this is your mission if you choose to accept it. Take these two URLs, AlexJonesLive.com, for all the news articles, all the videos, the live streams, and hit your email list, your text message list every day and say, the forbidden information is here, AlexJonesLive.com. And then this URL is just as important, AlexJonesApp.com, where you can download on Android and on Apple the free Alex Jones app with our live feeds, news, and more. Ladies and gentlemen, this is so critical. We have people power. It will override the AI. It will override the globalists. But you have to get excited, and you have to take action. The Alex Jones Network is launched. AlexJonesLive.com is launched. AlexJonesApp.com is launched. Now the ball is in your court in this victory as true patriots, as the vanguard of the resistance against tyranny, as modern Paul Revere's, to take your ride. Do it now and share those URLs, and we are unstoppable.
Weeks and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today. days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.